If you have your program, I'd like you to turn to the very back of your program. You'll find the scripture and the message outline we're going to follow very closely today in the very back of your program. You'll find our scripture and our message outline. We're going to follow it very closely on today. Our scripture comes from the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 12, verse 50, and Colossians chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. I'm going to read them in your hearing, and then we will proceed into the message. It reads, "For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. And he, Jesus Christ, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross." So I want to speak to you just for a little while today, the sort of blood relationships in Jesus Christ. Blood relationships in Jesus Christ. As we look at this passage of scripture, I want you to note that Jesus is speaking in Matthew chapter 12. And what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 12 is, "Whoever does the will of my Father, the will of my Father in heaven is my brother, that's my sister, that's my mother." So Jesus actually now starts off by talking about this blood relationship, mother, father, brother, sister. Those are blood relationships. And so now Jesus is introducing something spiritual in these blood relationships. He says the way you become part of the family of God is to do the will of God the Father. So we become part of God's family, and every one of us that's a part of God's family also become part of being the brother and sister in Jesus Christ. You have brothers and sisters, you have mothers, you have relationships in the body, and that is because of who Jesus Christ is. And so I want to try to lift up a few things you see there in your message outline that I'm hoping that will be a blessing to you. The first thing I want you to note is that the first part of your outline, Jesus says that whoever does the will of my Father. So right in there, the will of my Father. It's not your will. It's not your friend's will. It's not the church's will. It's not the pastor's will. It is the will of God the Father. If you're going to be a part of the family of God, then you need to be a part of this will of my Father. I'm glad the choir sang this song today because it is an old song. I remember singing it when I was in my 20s. It was old when I was in my 20s. It was an old song, but it's a true song. If you get close to God, God will get close to you. And when I left Louisville and was going to Chicago, I had not been in a city with millions of people. And so I needed the presence of God with me. And I asked the Lord to be close with me and let me to be close with him. And I thought I'd be in Chicago all my life. I was just in Chicago 10 years. Then I went to New York. And that was even a bigger city. And I asked God to help me to be close to God. God, be close to me. And I had no idea that I would ever leave New York and end up coming to California. What a crazy place to be. California. But God still walked with me. And I still did my best to walk with God. And I do my best to try to be close to God. And God says, now, if you would try to obey my will, you can have a close relationship with this God. And if you are wishy-washy about his will, if you do his will on Sunday only, then you're not going to have a close relationship with God. To have a close relationship with God, you have to ask God to draw you close every single day of your life. And if you will get close to God, doesn't matter what your mother, father, brother, sister, doesn't matter what your friends are doing, if you will get close to God, then God will get close to you. God gets close to us. And Jesus Christ says, now, if you do the will of the Father, not only will God himself get close to you, but God will bring brothers and sisters around you. He'll bring, I just lost my good friend. I've been friends with him since elementary school. But God gets in the picture. And God will bring some close, lasting friends that will be with you all the days of your life. And that's what God does. He brings people close. He gives us blood relationships. And because of who God is, Jesus Christ says, it all starts with the will of the Father. So let me ask you this. What is the will of the Father? But Jesus makes it real clear. He says, now, if you really want to know the primary, most important thing to God the Father, it's simply this. Love God with all your heart, soul, and strength. That is the primary will of the Father. Love God with all, not some, not most of, all of your heart, soul, and strength. And he says, and your neighbor as yourself. If you would do that, you would then be in the will of the Father. Not love money, not love sexual pleasures, not love the material stuff that you can get, not loving the hand claps and that comes with being famous or being a superior athlete. Now, don't fall in love with that. Fall in love with God. Jesus Christ says in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And then he says all that other stuff will be added to your life, but you got to seek God first. Make him the first primary part of who you are. So that's the thing, will of my Father. Second part of your outline, Jesus further says that she is my brother, sister, mother. If you want some good relationships, then you need to start with God, and then God will give you some brothers. He'll give you some sisters. He'll give you mother. He'll give you a wife. He'll give you family. God will give you what you need. But it starts with God's will being done in your life. Nobody else can decide that for you. You got to decide that for yourself. You might get some strange thoughts, crazy thoughts, thoughts that sometimes you get some good thoughts, and sometimes you get some bad thoughts. And God says whether you get good thoughts or bad thoughts, what you need to do is make sure that you ask God to come in. And God then will enable you to drive out every bad thought. Bad thoughts are going to come. The way to drive out a bad thought is to have a better thought. And that better thought is Jesus Christ. To drive out a temptation. And sometimes you want to get mad about something. You want to be angry about something. And sometimes you got a reason to be angry about things. And God said, but I'll drive that out if you allow Christ to come into your life. And so we need Jesus Christ in every aspect of our being. And he then provides brothers and sisters and all that we need. Third part of your outline says, note this also, that Jesus Christ is the head of the church. We read that in Colossians. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. It's not a pastor. It's not a priest. It's not the Pope. The head of the church is Jesus Christ. And he is the head of the church. And because he's the head of the church, everybody that follows him, my brothers and sisters, we then have him as the head of our lives. My father used to pray, Jesus, who is the head of my life? And I would think, well, it's the head of your life, but I'm my own head. And I found out being my own head wasn't going to get me nowhere. Maybe into some trouble. And so I decided I wanted Jesus Christ to be the head of my life. And if you make the decision, and nobody can make it for you, you got to make the decision, I want Jesus Christ to be the head of my life. And so he'll start then putting his thoughts in your head. Thoughts of love, thoughts of forgiveness, thoughts of mercy, thoughts of brilliance. God has some brilliant, wonderful things he wants to do in your life. And it doesn't matter what your age is, because God is timeless. He's eternal. He can do marvelous, miraculous things, whatever your age might be. Our God wants you to surrender your will to the will of the Father. And he said, now, if you do the Father's will, then the Father then will become the head of your life, just like he is the head of the church. And because he's the head of the church, the first thing he tells us, and I want you to note this now in this scripture here, it tells us specifically, verse 18 says that he may have the preeminence. Preeminence means that he'll be first. That you will put Jesus Christ first in your life. If you put Jesus Christ first, that means above your politics, it means above your career, above your job, above your academic things that you're doing. If you put Jesus Christ first, then Jesus Christ then will be pleased to raise you up. That's what it says here. He'll be pleased. God, in other words, God will get joy in blessing you. He's going to be happy to bless. Sometimes I'm with my grandsons, and when they do something that, and most of the time, something that's nice and kind towards somebody else, it pleases me. And I will say to them, you know what? Because you did that, I think it's ice cream time. They say to me, now you're talking, Grandpa. Now you're talking. Because it pleases me to be a blessing to them because they've done something that I thought was really good. Well, that's how our Father is. God, our Father, said, when you do what is really good, it pleases God. And God then said, I want to bless you. I want to show you that I'm pleased with you. God blesses us. And so Jesus speaks to us about this God being pleased. And then verse 20 says, and by him, he reconciles all things to himself. God will reconcile what's going on in our lives. Many people don't want to admit they got some good and some bad in them. We are real good at hiding the bad. And we try to promote the good. Oh, I'm good. I'm smiling like this all the time. I'm happy like this all the time. I wake up, sunshine is on me. No, you wake up with the same devil I wake up with. But God is good, and God is able to reconcile what's going on in our lives. He's able to make it right. He's able to get out that which is not good, and he's able to bring goodness in. Our God is in the reconciliation business. He reconciles us to himself. And then he also tells us in verse 20, that's whether the things on earth are in heaven. So wherever you go, on earth, in heaven, out in space, in the water, under the sea, wherever you go, our God is able to reconcile you to himself. Doesn't matter how high up you get, doesn't matter how much money you make, doesn't matter how poor you get, doesn't matter how down you might get, our God is able to reconcile you to himself. That's a wonderful thing. That wherever you are in life, God can reach you. Whatever thoughts you might have, pure thoughts or impure thoughts, our God can reach you. But let me get to the last thing. I want to make sure you get this. This is after he talks about reconciliation on heaven and earth, he then tells us, and this is the last part of your outline. I want you to get this. Jesus has made, as the scripture says here, having made peace. Somebody say peace. It's a wonderful thing when you can be at peace. And especially when you are at peace with yourself. I did what I know was right. I can be at peace. When you are involved in doing what you know is not right, you will not be at peace. If you're telling somebody you're going to be faithful to them and you got somebody else on the side, you're not going to be at peace. You're trying to lie to them, but what you're really doing is lying to yourself. You might try to hide it. You might try to think you're being slick, but what you're really doing is causing disturbance in yourself because you're not being true to what you say. Now, if you say I'm a cheater and I'm a liar, then you're at least being honest. You can have a measure of peace just because you're being honest. I'm not trying to fool you. This is just who I am. But when we try to be dishonest, and of course, even if you be honest about cheating, you still got to pay the price for that. There's a price to be paid, whatever your choices are. And so the best choice is to pay, is to do what is right, because then God will honor that, and he forgives our wrong, and then he blesses us. Jesus Christ tells us, the first thing I'm going to do is bring you peace. He is the Prince of Peace. No drug, no alcohol, nothing else, no entertainment, none of that can bring you lasting peace. The reason people try it is because it can bring you a temporary peace. You can feel good about being drunk or being high or being in some sexual orgy. You can feel good about that temporarily, but as you mature, that's going to become a burden to you. And if the devil has his way, he'll allow that to kill you. That's what he came to do. Jesus says in John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he's come to do. And he'll try to make you enjoy it while he's killing you. He's bringing you down and you smiling and laughing about it. That's the power of the devil. He makes you think, no, this is what you need to do. You don't just need to get high. You need to get higher. He's trying to deceive you. And all the while you recognize that I'm not at peace. But when you get with Jesus Christ, he brings you his peace. Well, how does he do it? Right here in the scripture, peace through the blood. It is the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ's blood washes us of our sin. It cleanses us. Remember what he told us in Matthew chapter 5, I think it's around verse 7 or 8. He says, blessed are the pure in heart. You know how you get a pure heart? It is by the blood of Jesus Christ. His blood is pure. And you let the pure blood of Jesus Christ purify your heart. You become blessed. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You're going to see God in your own life. You see him at work. You see his forgiveness. You'll see his love. You'll see his mercies. God will allow you to see him if you get your heart pure. You get your heart pure through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to finish with this last statement. It says, through the blood of his cross. It is at the cross where Jesus died for my sin and yours. It's at the cross where we really recognize the mercies that come through Jesus Christ. It was him substituting himself for you and substituting himself for me. He died on the cross that I might have a right to the tree of life. He died on the cross that your sins might be forgiven. He died on the cross that you and I could lift up his name, and he says that God then will smile upon us for just calling on his name. It was the cross. And at the cross, my brother and sister, we are made whole again. At the cross, you and I receive the peace of God. At the cross, we receive God's forgiveness of our sin. At the cross, we get the mercies that come from above. At the cross, we get the grace that comes from our Lord. We got to have this cross. At the cross, he made me live again. At the cross, he picked me up, stood me on solid ground. I'm glad I got a Christ who died on the cross. He's at the cross. And I want to invite you, please take up that cross. Jesus says, take up the cross and follow me. He will bless your life. It's all at the cross. I'm going to stop right there. Will you stand with me? Maybe somebody here today wants to accept this Christ, this Savior.